So I am really, really, really excited about this series that we're starting today, entitled or called Unconventional. Unconventional. And so I think probably it makes sense if we're going to talk about unconventional, we probably should set the foundation and let's discuss what it means for something to be conventional. So let's set kind of the stage for this entire series that we're going to go through. Conventional means, and I'm quoting from the dictionary here, is based on or in accordance with what is generally done or believed. Conventional is doing something based on what is generally done or believed. Conventional wisdom, it's what's generally regarded as being true. So, if I were going to go out to dinner somewhere, conventional wisdom would dictate that the first thing that I get is a salad, and then the meal, and then dessert. That's conventional. In the same way, if I asked you who the greatest college basketball team is, because you've heard me preach for 2 years, you know that it's University of Kentucky Wildcats. That's conventional wisdom. We can all agree that is true, right? And so conventional is doing something because that's the way it's always been done. And conventional is not always bad. So don't misunderstand that there are times when doing things the conventional way is very, very good. There's security in doing things the way you've always done them. There's a certain peace with the familiar. Church is done most of the time in a very conventional way. We sing the songs that we sing because we've always sang them. We hear the sermons the way we do because that's how it's always been done. We take the sacraments because that's what convention dictates. And there is nothing in the world wrong with doing things that way. Where it becomes an issue, where conventional wisdom or doing things the conventional way becomes an issue, is when we allow ourselves to become siloed. Do you know what I mean by siloed? Where you're kind of in your own little lane and you only will do what's in your lane because that's the way that you've always done it. You can't look outside of your box. That can be a dangerous thing. Doing things the conventional way can also be dangerous when we consider the source of why it is we do what we do. The world tells us that the conventional way is this, and oftentimes the way the world tells us to do something is very different than what the scripture says we should do. The widening gap between the world and the word is getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger every single day. And so you have to be really careful when you consider what's conventional. You have to consider your source. So that's conventional. What does it mean for something to be unconventional? Being out of the ordinary, and this is the definition, disregard for how things are done. So basically the opposite. If conventional wisdom says this, I'm going to do something differently with complete and total disregard for how things have always been. And so typically people who do things unconventionally are considered one of two things. They're either a trailblazer or a nut, sometimes both. And so there's really no greater example of the unconventional than the story of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What Jesus did, how he lived, he did it very much unconventionally. Even at the very start of his story, if you talk about the birth of Jesus, the birth of our Savior, well, conventional wisdom and science would tell you in order for a child to be born, certain things have to happen, and then the child's born 9 months later. Well, the Bible says, no, we're not going to go with convention. God did things a little bit differently. Convention dictates that if someone was going to be a king, he probably should be born in a palace. He should have servants and all of these kind of fancy royal things. Jesus Christ didn't live a life that was conventional in that sense. He broke the mold. And then you get started with his teachings, and he taught things about love and joy and peace and forgiveness that completely go against the grain of society. Jesus was very, very, very much unconventional. And so that's our plan. For the next 4 weeks, we're going to look at the life of our Savior. We're going to look at some specific ways that he kind of broke the mold from what conventional wisdom dictates. Now, what I think we're going to find is that if we do this right, if this becomes more than just words, more than just something we do on Sunday, we will find that we are called to also live unconventionally. And that kind of excites me and terrifies me, if I'm being completely honest. So, there are a few things that Jesus spoke less about or more about. There are a few things that Jesus spoke more about than the topic of love. And so that's what we're going to start today, is this idea of unconventional love. And this is so key for where we're moving in the next month, because it's the foundation for everything Christ did. His forgiveness, his grace, his hope, his peace, his whole ministry is founded on this premise of an unconventional love, a love that we, even today, have a hard time comprehending. So that's where we're going to land today. We're going to walk through what it means to love or to be loved unconventionally. And so to do that, let's kind of flip over and let's talk about how the world defines love. And we kind of did this a few months ago, so I don't want to spend too much time on it. But as a quick review, what does it mean to love or to be loved conventionally? And so if you're taking notes, we're going to walk through kind of four ideas. This is not exhaustive. This is just kind of a place for us to start. And so the first is conventional love is subjective or conditional. The world defines love as something that is subjective or conditional. So let me give you an example. Now, this didn't happen often to me, but in my younger days, when I dated a girl, there were a couple of times where I was provoked to say the L word, okay? Now, don't tell Courtney, all right? But it's the truth. And why, if you could guess, why did I hesitate in saying that word to a girl I was dating? What was my biggest fear? Well, it's that she wouldn't say it back. You don't want to tell someone that you love them unless you're sure they're going to say it back. The last thing I wanted to do was say, I love you, and that girl would look at me and say, thank you. That may or may not have happened to me. We won't go into that. You see, the world defines love as something that we give so that we can receive. Like, I'm going to love you because you love me back. But if you don't love me back, then I have no reason to love you. There are conditions, or it's subjective to certain criteria in order for that love to be there. The world says that love is subjective or conditional. Number two, conditional love is fleeting. If we use the world's standards, if we use the worldly perspective to define love, that means that I can love you today and not love you tomorrow. Marriages that are built on this worldly concept of love fail every single day because there's this idea that I can fall out of love with someone. The world says that love is fleeting. Number three, conventional love is sought or is earned. Conventional love is something that you seek or you earn it. Every generation has a song about looking for love, sometimes in all the wrong places. So we have this kind of idea that we have to find our true love. We have to find our soulmate. Love is something that I have to be seeking in order to receive it. I listened to some Billy Graham crusades earlier this week, and he told a joke. And so I'm going to preface this by saying I'm a little nervous in telling you this joke because I told you a really awesome bankruptcy joke like a month ago and no one laughed at my joke. So I'm telling you, this is Billy Graham's joke. If you do not laugh at Billy Graham's joke, a jewel is removed from your crown in heaven. That's between you and God, okay? So a man was in the woods one day and he was praying. He was fervently praying for God to bring him a wife. He was just pouring his heart out. Father, just bring me a bride so I can be married, so I can be happy. And at that exact moment, there was an owl up in a tree above him that went, who, who? And the guy said, I don't know God, anybody. Those might be fake laughs, but that's okay. I was really excited about that joke. So conventional love is earned or sought. Next, conventional love is emotional. The world says, in order for us to love someone, we need to feel it. We need to have the warm and fuzzies. If I don't have the warm and fuzzies, then I must not love you. The world says that love is something that we feel and only something we feel. Now there are some emotional elements to love, but what we're going to find is that's just the tip of the iceberg. And Jesus was very, very clear on that. So let's turn in the Bibles this morning, our Bibles this morning. We're going to be flipping around a lot, and you'll notice on your bulletins, I tried to have each passage marked, so if you want to tag each one, and then we'll kind of flip back and forth. Let's talk about what it means to love someone unconventionally. Jesus started his ministry, and he kind of flipped things up on its end. His love is not subjective or conditional. It's not fleeting. It's definitely not earned. You don't have to wait for it. And while it can be emotional, there's one thing the cross is not. It's warm and fuzzy. And let's start up right off the bat with Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 through 48. Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 48. Jesus is teaching. He says, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. We've all heard this passage before. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteousness and the unrighteousness. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are you not even the tax collectors doing that? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. The world says, in order for me to love someone, they should love me back. Christ says the exact opposite. So it doesn't matter if someone loves you, hates you, or is indifferent of you. You love. You see, unconventional love is unconditional. There's no prerequisites. There's nothing that you should expect in return. Jesus calls us to simply love, no matter what. And to make it worse, like, it's one thing for me to love you guys because you're awesome and we have fun together and I enjoy being with you. That's great. But Jesus takes it a step further and says, no. You have to love your enemies. Now think about that. Christians read over that passage and they say, yeah. Well, we get it. We're supposed to love our enemies. But like, how do we live that out? How in the world can I love someone who has wronged me in a way that provokes me to label them as my enemy? That's got to be just Bible speak, right? That's not realistic. There's no way for me to love someone who has hurt me that bad. Jesus says, there is, and you should. See, my love for you, Jesus' love for us, is unconditional. Our love for others then should be the same. And if you're not convinced, turn with me to Matthew chapter 22, and he kind of breaks it down a little bit more. Matthew chapter 22, we're going to be in 34 through 38. hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment of the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Did you catch the two commands in that? We've all read that. I know we have. What's interesting is they're not mutually exclusive. So what Jesus is saying, in order for you to love your neighbor as yourself, you have to first love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. There's no way for us with our sinful hearts to love our neighbor as ourselves, to love our enemies when they've wronged us, unless we first love God with everything we have and all that we are. And what happens when you begin to love God with every part of your being, you begin to love the things that God loves. And guess what? Whether you believe it or not, God loves your enemies as much as he loves you. You see, the world tells us that love is something that I give out of my own goodness. Love is something that comes from my heart to you. I love you because I will myself to love you. Jesus Christ is saying that's not the case. Your love, if you're doing it right, is a gift from God. You love because you love God and he loves you, and that allows you to love others. You see the difference? You see how that's so unconventional? See, unconventional love isn't something that we give, but rather something that comes from God. It's a very different way of thinking about this word and this emotion and this thing that we talk about so often. It's a gift from God because God loves me and I have submitted myself to God fully and totally. I then have the capability of loving someone as Christ first loved me. Let that sit in for a second. It changes everything. At least it did for me. Next, John chapter 13 is unconditional love defines. John chapter 13, unconditional love defines. When he was gone, again, John chapter 13, verses 31 through 34, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself. And will glorify him at once." Verse 33, "My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look at me, and just as I told the Jews, so I will tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come." But here's where it gets good. "And a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Let me read that one more time. "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." How did Jesus say his disciples would be defined? By their awesome sermons? By the huge churches they build? By the money in their bank account? By how nice they are to people? It's you will know, or the world will know, that you belong to me by the way you love one another. Jesus is saying, not only is love unconditional, not only is love a gift from me, it should also be your calling card. So I ask you a question. What's the first thing people notice about you? What about the second? The third? How long does it take for people to notice that there is something unconventional about you and I? serious question. I told the story. A previous job I had. I worked with this lady for over 5 years. We weren't on the same team, but she knew me, and I knew her. For 5 years, I interacted with this lady, day after day after day after day. We moved to Hot Springs, and I changed my LinkedIn profile to pastor of Hot Springs Wesleyan Church. I get a message from her congratulating me. She said some really nice things. I don't remember, but the last line of this message broke my heart today and then as well. She said, "I didn't even know you were a believer." How many people in our lives have no idea where our faith resides? How many people have no idea that we profess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior? For some of you, probably not many. For some of you, like me, maybe a few. And that's terrifying. Jesus said that should be what sticks out the most. The love that I have for you and the love that you have for me, if we're doing it right, should be our defining factor. An unconventional love is one that defines. Moving on, unconventional love redefines. Unconventional love both defines who we are, but if we're doing this right, it redefines everything else in our lives. 1 John, if you want to turn with me to 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. You want to know what love is? Real love. Unconventional love. Unconditional love. Look no further than the cross. It's our example for how we should interact with every single person we ever come into contact with. That's unconventional love. It's laying down your life for someone who does not deserve it, which, ladies and gentlemen, is exactly what Christ did for you and I. He took the punishment that we deserved because of the unconventional love that he had for you and for me. If you're like me, and maybe you're not, maybe I'm just weird, I can rationalize that I should love God. I can even rationalize that we should love others. Like, that makes sense to me. Where I struggle, and where we're going to land the plane today, is how in the world would God love me? Every single day I fall short. Every single day I stumble and I fall and I do silly things. I use unkind words. I think unkind thoughts. I mess up time and time and time again. So I find myself asking the question, why in the world would God do so much for me? Why would he love me? Why not just start over? Start from scratch. As God, it's within his power to do that. And so this week, as I was studying, I came across a passage that kind of shed some light on it, and I want to end with this. And so we're going to flip back, and I don't think this is going to be on the screen. We're going to flip back to Genesis chapter 1 at the very, very, very beginning of creation. Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to be in verses 26 and following. You're more than welcome to read along with me here. So I asked myself, okay, God, like, why do you love me? And I read this. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Verse 28, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Verse 29, then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. In verse 31, I want you to pay attention to this. God saw all that he had made, and it was good. Let me read that again. I'm going to say it again. God saw all that he had made, and it was good. Here's the deal, and this is so cool. God knows your potential. God knows what you're capable of. God knows how good you can be. And like any good father, who looks at his children after his children mess up time and time and time again, God says, it's okay. I know your potential. I know what you're capable of. And because I know that, because I loved you when you were first made, I'm going to give you this opportunity to make things right. You see, God knows and sees the potential that we had in the garden that was lost during the fall, but reclaimed through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. God knows what you and I are capable of. And so every time we stumble and we fall, we question, why in the world would something so good and pure and holy love someone like me who is so broken? God tells us it's because I know what you can do. And I know that it's within you to be good. And so here's the cross. Here's your way to make things right. It's fascinating, mind-blowing. It's this unconventional love that's a foundation for everything we do, church. As we move forward from here in the next 4 weeks and beyond, we have to have this as our foundation. This is our base which to build on. This unconventional love that's unconditional. It's a gift from God that defines our very being and redefines everything else that we see in this life. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this love. Like this, Father, this excites me. This is just something that I can hardly comprehend how much you love me and why you love me, but you do. And you proved that once and for all by sending your son, Jesus Christ, to pay the price for my shortcomings. Father, my prayer this morning that is if someone doesn't know you in a real and personal way, Father, that you would wreck their heart. That you would cause so much turmoil inside them that they have nothing left to do but to turn to you. Father, we thank you for today. In Jesus' name, amen.